Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
We've got a fight. Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
Instigators.
We are headed to a second overtime in Game 7 here in Washington.
Capital One Arena now, full throat.
And back up Terrabon and Williams.
They score! Hey, what do you say? The Canes win in overtime. It is seventh heaven, and the Carolina Hurricanes have advanced.
Silence has never sounded better or more golden. Nothing came easy tonight. Nothing has come easy the entire season. And this hockey club just finds a way.
What a story. The Jerks come through again. And now we'll dance in the second round.
So many mixed emotions for me in that game last night. I can't even begin to tell you. Rivs, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yeah, you look thrilled to be here.
I am. I could not wait to get in here this morning. Watched all the games over my little break, and you know what? I mean, I don't even know where to start with all these. You know, it's one thing to see Tampa Bay get spanked by Columbus, but I am absolutely shocked right now. Every time one of these top teams gets knocked out, I just think, who's going to win the cup?
I know. It's unbelievable. You know, I'm back and forth. I'm the biggest fence sitter there is, I think, out there in the world of sports. But I'll tell you, I mean, I initially picked Boston, so I'm kind of, you know, semi still in there. But, you know, I'll tell you this. Last night, double overtime. You have to excuse pronunciations and names. I'll just say the guy from Carolina that flipped the puck over. Now, granted, Washington, there was a missed call. And I want to get into referees today a little bit with Riv. Jeremy Roenick going to make up for his time yesterday. You know, hit the snooze button, I think, a couple too many times, making excuses. But we'll talk to JR at 11:30. So, you know, an unbelievable Game 7 to talk to him about. But I had some mixed emotions, you know, like I'm sitting there and Riv, I'm saying to myself, I really wanted Carolina to win that game. Number one, because we counted them out after it was 2-0. Was it 2-0? We counted them out. You remember we did a buy-sell trade and we're like, there will be this. And we said, no, Carolina's as good as done. We did say that. So last night I'm sitting there, that puck gets flipped over and I'm looking at Brind'Amour and I'm thinking, oh, karma. Karma. Yeah. I know it's earlier in the playoffs than what happened in 05-06 when it helped your team, big boy over there in Carolina. But oh, here's a little karma for you, Brindy. Yeah. But I wanted Carolina to win, right?
Yep.
But you know, like I'm thinking back to the old Brian Campbell, flip it over the glass. But it was just kind of like a little bit of nostalgia there for me in a bad way. But anyway, you're sitting there and you're thinking, the refs looked terrified. To make a call all overtime.
Well, they should be. The refs haven't been good.
Well, they haven't been good. But I guess, is it okay that they put the whistles away? Because there were several, and they missed one in the Washington over the glass, which I'll tell you is, that was tough. It was very close. You know, you never want to go back maybe to a review after the game because you can't review it during. and say, oh, that was, we could have gotten away with not calling that. So that was close enough that you can understand, but then you look back on the replay and you realize they got,
okay,
they got
and I'm okay with that. Okay. I'm okay with a situation like that. Things like that happen. It, this game is played at lightning pace. They're human. The referees are doing their best. But for me, I can't get over a situation with what happened in San Jose. And
I was hoping you were going to bring that up. I mean, we hate to live in the past around here, but you weren't around, and that's your boy Joe Pavelski. You know, and I didn't ask you on purpose, knowing that you were going to be back here today. So I wanted to ask you, like, what did you think of that? I mean, there was a play. I can't remember who it was. Tweeted it out. I think even Jay McKee sent it to Marty and I.
Yeah.
Because Jay was all over me yesterday about my stance on that hit, and I think he sent one out. I think it was his poker guy there, Daniel Negreanu.
Yeah.
Sent something out about, look at same very similar play, no penalty. Like the same thing happened in the Carolina game. But what was your thought on that?
Well, when you sit there and you watch it over multiple times, which is what we get to do at home, I mean, it is clearly, if you want to give a 2-minute cross-checking penalty, it's fine. But Joe Pavelski was not hurt because of the cross-check. It was hurt because of the way he went down to the ice.
Due to the cross-check.
Was it due to the cross check, or was it due to the next guy coming in and smacking him down?
I don't know that he had that much to do with it. But carry on. I'll counterpoint later.
The penalty is a cross check. He was not hurt because of the cross check. You don't give a 5-minute major with 10 minutes left in a game 7. I mean, these guys, whoever made that call, I don't know what ref it is, but that is the most, that's going to be one of the biggest colossal failures of this entire season. There is absolutely no question. Vegas should have won this series. There's no question about it. And I think that they should have won been one of the teams that should have won the Stanley Cup. The cross check is not the reason why he's on the ice.
No, but it's the reason why he went off balance, and it's kind of what I was saying about the Fogel hit on.
Well, we need to literally put every single guy in the box because if you've ever watched.
I know.
Well,
I don't want to get beaten down again about this day two because I took an absolute.
We need to understand something
yesterday.
Though. We need to understand something though. The cross check is one thing.
Okay,
but who is the other player that came
Stastny.
In?
Now, here's the question, though. Why is Eakin doing that? Eakin actually, it's Stastny's job to get out to Burns. They lost the faceoff. He has to get through to the lane there. Why is Eakin pushing Pavelski into Stastny's lane? It would, like, even if Pavelski didn't go down, that whole sequence would have allowed Brent Burns to walk the line and get an unbelievable shot off anyway. I mean, it was just a stupid play that resulted in a player getting hurt. So I guess in the grand scale of things, the way it looks on the ice, the optics on the ice, the optics of a game, the player that it was, I was okay with the 5. And I wanted Vegas to win. You know I wanted Vegas to win for more reasons than whatever. But I just I
okay, but why are you giving a 5-minute major in that?
I think probably okay because he's bleeding. Major? He's bleeding out of his helmet.
So that was because of the cross check then?
Well, no, it wasn't. Well, and that's the kicker, right? So, like, there's such a fine line. I mean,
there isn't a Fogel, fine line.
Well, Fogel didn't mean when he pushed Oshie for him to go into the boards and break his clavicle. It's just the unfortunate circumstance that happens when a player does something a little bit reckless. And if a player gets hurt and has to leave the game, then you should be penalized for that. I mean, it's that's the thing, is that we don't allow enough human error or ref to make their own call, and the referee's discretion, they're so overshadowed and watched by the league on every single thing. They're not allowed to have a mind of their own. So this guy made a safe play. He didn't know. And you want to know something?
If they have a mind of their own, they're going to be making stupid calls like this.
Will they? I don't know. The refs last night looked pretty scared to make a call.
Well, they should be scared. That's because they're probably all getting crap for what these donkeys did in San Jose the other night.
But in the meantime, there's a lot of stuff being missed. So I guess the question is, are we okay with putting the whistles away? No, just putting the whistles away, because that's a common theme. In playoffs, they put the whistles away. But it was an amazing game. But at the same time, you're thinking, man, you know, I could be in bed an hour earlier here if they had called that trip in the first 10 minutes of the first overtime. You know, but I think the refs, the officials, are terrified to make a call, period. Whether it's fans, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whether it's their bosses. I don't know who it is, but they're scared. And it's screwing up the games. It's ruining the games. Not the game, these games. That's all I'm saying. The officiating has been absolutely
horrendous. Let me ask you a question. Has the game become too fast? You remember back in the day where we only had one referee on the ice? Well, now we have two referees, and we also have two other eyes, which are the linesmen. So there's four guys on the ice at a time. Is the game still too fast for the human eye?
The rhetorical question, Farley? Yes, the answer is yes. I believe the game is too fast for a lot of the officials that are officiating the game. I've said this before. I think they do a great job.
And I think they do a great job. It is an extremely tough job to do.
It's a tough job, but it's too fast.
That being said, but when you look at this situation in San Jose, in Vegas right now, they have to be beside themselves, absolutely beside themselves. After watching that, there is absolutely zero chance that should have been a 5-minute major. And here's the thing. If you're making that call, there's four guys on the ice watching the draw. Can you tell me that one guy out of those guys is going to say, "God, no, this is not the reason why he's bleeding from the head from the cross check. It's because he got pushed back from the cross check and then ended up falling over, stashing his knee, and banged his head off the ground. That's not a 5-minute major." And they messed up.
It's not a 5-minute major.
It's a penalty. It's a 2-minute penalty.
It is. It's a 2-minute penalty. And I feel like, to me, okay, so.
You agree that it's a 2-minute penalty?
It's 100% a 2-minute penalty. I brought up the other day or yesterday that we used to see Eric Lindros do it off faceoffs, and he used to get penalized all the time for it. It was a highlight on Rock'em Sock'em Hockey from Don Cherry. So, I mean,
but a lot of times Eric Lindros did that, there was a purpose behind it. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Well, I feel like Eakin knew what he was doing. I mean, he wanted to throw Pavelski off balance. And he did. And I think that's kind of the case, right? I mean, it's a stretch for my argument's sake, but I'll throw it out there anyway. I mean, you high stick a guy, you get a 2-minute penalty. You high stick a guy and he's bleeding, you get a 4. You high stick a guy and, you know, like you almost chop his nose off his face or, you know, take his eyeball out, you're probably getting a 5, depending on the severity of the high stick. So
what if you cross-check
I believe the aggression behind...
So the cross-check...
The
cross-check is a 2-minute penalty. A cross-check to make a guy bleed
is what? A cross-check that results in a case like this, sure, I can make the argument for...
For a what?
For a 5-minute penalty.
For a 5-minute penalty?
I don't want to see players
What if you cross-check a guy, bumps into another player... That other player stick comes up, hits him in the face, and draws blood.
Yeah, classic example. I'm going to keep going back to the Fogel thing, and I know the Eakin one was stationary, but Fogel, no different. He just pushed him. He didn't intend for him to go into the boards the way he did. It was Oshie's position on his skates and his blade and that pushed him down. You know how it is, Marty.
The momentum went into the boards.
He ends up falling into the boards and breaking his clavicle. Now, you probably could have given Fogel a 2-minute penalty for cross-checking, but when he goes into the boards the way he did and breaks his collarbone, I want a suspension. So that's kind of where I'm standing. I mean, I'm speaking from the standpoint of the attempt to clean up the game and not have your star players, you know, bleeding out of their helmet. I mean, that's kind of, you know, where I'm thinking. And if it starts off of a blatant cross check off a face off that doesn't really have anything to do with the game, because Pavelski didn't have the puck. That's the other thing. He didn't even have the puck. So it's not like he's knocking him off the puck. He lost the face off fair and square, and then he barrels him over and he's bleeding out of his helmet. I mean, no. He didn't cross-check him in the head, and that's how he was bleeding. He cross-checked him in the chest when he was off balance. And you know as well as I do that you know when a player is vulnerable when you push on him or not. You know it. You can tell when a guy's standing there that he's off balance. We are on our skates all the time. We know where...
So you're saying that whole thing works together. You're saying if you cross-check someone, he falls, bangs his head off of the ice, and he's bleeding... Then that's
okay.
The same
so it goes back to the slew foot the other night that I don't think was called in the Carolina game in Game 6, where if he slew foots the guy, you can give him a 2-minute for slew footing and call him a you know, a dirty player. But if you slew foot him and he hammers his head on the ice, now I'm going to say I want you for five games. That's what I'm saying. So it, I guess it's up to the player to decide whether he wants to take that risk to lay the stick across the chest or not. And Kadri should have been the classic example of that, where you would think that the league would be looking at potential things like this. I mean, what happens if he doesn't fall over and crack his head? What if he comes up and cross-checks him in the chin? I mean, it's a 3-0 game. I think the stupidity of it is why the 5-minute major, I think, for me is, I was happy he got a five. I'm like, he was trying to be a hero, and now he burned himself for it. So, and his team, and we carry on.
Yeah. I don't believe that he burned his team. I think the refs burned him, period.
Okay, so leads to last night. Now, last night, I'm thinking these refs are terrified. The whole game, by the way, for those of you that watched that game was absolutely incredible, first of all. And I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin when it comes down to that game, because Braden Holtby could be a story in that game. The first overtime, he was absolutely spectacular. Justin Williams. Like, you talked about Justin Williams, like the leadership of this guy.
I said in a group text the other day, I'm like, that's what a leader is all about. He's an older, grizzled guy that has been through many of these types of situations, so he can draw and speak from experience, good times and bad times. And, you know, the guy's a winner. I mean, he just finds ways to win games. That's his 8th Game 7 win. Like, I mean, that's absolutely incredible. He's the one who assisted on the Brock McGinn goal. I am really, really interested, you know, with the locker room type stuff. There's a lot of very young guys on that team in Carolina, and they don't look young. They look like they're very structured. They all work. What I love about the playoffs more than anything, and it happens every single year, is not everybody watches other teams in other markets. So here, people here in Buffalo, we watch the Buffalo Sabres, and we watch the teams that come to town, but you don't really get to watch and see how many great players there are in this league. And I find that making the playoffs can catapult your name into another stratosphere. Like, we're talking about this Brock McGinn, okay? No one knows who Brock McGinn is around, but they watched this kid dive across the goal line to save a goal.
He won the game twice for them.
He scores the game winner, has a goal and assist in the game, plays 25 and a half minutes, and who is he? But you get to see how he's a player. He's a guy that helps this team.
Well, isn't it because these guys all do those other little things that stand out more in these types
of games?
Maybe
who the offensive guy on this team is beside Aho. Everybody on the entire team all plays the same. They all are shot blockers. They're all defensively responsible. They never, ever take a shift off. They're all physical. Did you see how many body checks they had last night? 60 body checks. They never stop coming at you. They have speed, they have size, they play the game both ends of the ice exceptionally well.
How does Brendan Moore get them to do that?
Because that's who Brendan Moore was. What we just named right there is exactly who he was. So for me, when you look at a Rod Brendamore taking over this team last year, or at the start of this year, immediately what
came
questions?
To mind... I had questions about how it was going to work.
I didn't have questions. I just had, how long is it going to take for them to play Rod Brendamore hockey? I guarantee you that every single player in that locker room respects him. And he keeps them all very accountable. He wants it done a certain way, and this is the way it's going to be done, or you will not be here, period. Mm-hmm. Every single guy in the team blocking shots, they're hitting, they're forechecking, they're backchecking. They all play the game. They have a superstar in Sebastian Aho. Yeah, he's incredible. but he's also a player that plays a 200-foot game.
And he's contract year.
Yeah, but
how much are you going to pay that guy?
They're going to have to pay him a lot of money. They're going to have to pay him a lot of money, and you know what? He deserves to be paid a lot of money. That's the reality of it. I mean, he is a heck of a hockey player. He is their star. But when you look at their team and the way that they play, I mean, they all play the same. And that's why Carolina Hurricanes are in this situation right now.
Could they win? Could they win the cup? I mean, are they deep enough to win? Does that even matter anymore? Does it even matter?
Let me look at I'll give you their top six guys. Sebastian Aho scored 30. Teravainen scored 21. Justin Williams, 23. Furland, 17. Dougie Hamilton scored 18 goals this year. And Svechnikov scored 20. I mean, this is a team that's Niederreiter in 36 games this year. Not even half a season, scored 14 and 30. This is a heck of a hockey team. They're no joke. And they have a lot of guys that just kind of have chipped in. Lucas Walmark, do you know who he is? I don't know who he is, but he had 28 points, 10 goals. They all chip in. Brock McGinn, 10 goals, 26 points.
You know who really stood out to me in this series?
Martinuk had 15 goals. He's a fourth line guy.
Yeah. Pesci had an interview after the game the other night. Game six. I mean, just you hear these guys speak, and you wonder sometimes if they came into the league that way, or if maybe they've been molded that way by guys they have around them, like Justin Williams, like Jordan Staal.
Yeah,
you know, guys like that. I mean, I'm excluding a few guys. I mean, there are other veteran guys, but maybe not guys that have won cups on that team. I don't know. You'd have to tell me, but.
You know, we go through and we look at the teams that are through.
And I think people give them credit for. Pardon?
The teams that are through, like Columbus Blue Jackets. How do they play the game? What has brought them to this point at the end of the season to make the playoffs? Because they weren't guaranteed anything once they made all these moves.
Weren't we laughing at them?
No. I
kind of feel like there was a time early we were laughing or mocking the Carolina Hurricanes.
Not laughing.
You sure? Are we manning up to this? Are we owning this?
We were not laughing. And the reason why we weren't laughing is because this GM went out and made the most bold moves on the planet, okay, and traded away assets, huge assets that are supposed to be with this organization for years, and went full bore to try and build this team into a Stanley Cup winner. Everybody was sitting there going, what did this guy do? What did he just do?
If
it doesn't work, then now every team in the National Hockey League, from here on in at the trade deadline, everybody's going to be saying, hey, you remember how what Columbus Blue Jackets did? We're not doing that. But now that they won, they picked off the best team in the league in the last 20-plus years. Now everybody's saying, wow, I want them to do well, because now this might open up more for teams out there at the trade deadline. You look at the way the Columbus Blue Jackets play. How do they play the game? They play it heavy, fast, and physical. They defensively responsible. The Boston Bruins, that B on their jersey is for beast. They play the same way because it's run by Zdeno Chara and Bergeron and Marchand, and they all play hard, which everybody behind those guys play a certain style, and if you don't, it's not acceptable. You look at the fourth line on Boston. Curley, who's scored the
Corrali.
Corrali.
Yeah, you know what? Here's an interesting point too. We'll circle back. I mean, Toronto, the Toronto series. You know, a lot of heat. You know, I want to ask you about that. A lot of heat surrounding the team, questions, Marner offer sheet, all that stuff. Kadri, is he back for reasons we talked about when he first got suspended, if they win or lose? You know, Babcock, you made a point about, you know, a lot of people pointing the finger at Babcock. I think, you know, who's and Gardner's the scapegoat too, but you know, who's being kind of walking away unscathed, letting in two softies was Frederik Andersen. Like, you need your goalie to make those saves. I don't care.
And you look at Rask. Rask played absolutely phenomenal hockey. You know, Frederik Andersen, who has been a big part of the Toronto success this year. Everybody talks about, you know, their firepower in Toronto, but with firepower and offensive players, they lack defensive awareness. And Frederik Anderson's going to get peppered probably a little bit more than most goaltenders, but he didn't play his best game in the last game of the season.
It was two saves. Even if it's one save, that's a different game. You know, I mean, I don't pick one. I don't care. You know, both were soft. One was over the glove. Listen, one was short side, soft.
Not having Nazem Kadri in this lineup, I think when you're looking long term, you know, Toronto's the type of team that they can beat you, 4-5-0, but they can also lose to you the very next night 4-5-0. They're not structurally sound. They've got a tremendous amount of offensive guys that are a little bit lighter, but highly, highly, highly skilled hockey team. They're not defensively. I don't think they're defensively structured.
Isn't that series alone enough for you to want it to be 1-4 in the division? Come on, say it isn't so. Everyone wants 1-8 because all the number one seeds are out. Boo hoo. Parity in the league is at an all time high. It is amazing. I want rivalries. You know what makes rivalries? Parity. Year after year, you get the same teams playing each other in either the first or second round, and boom. Because you know what I can't wait for? I don't want to be 1 year older any faster than I'm getting there. But I'll tell you, I cannot wait for next year's Bruins Leafs series. You know that's coming next year.
I don't want to see it.
Oh,
I don't want to see it.
I'd rather see them
in the second round, not in the first round.
But you can get. But okay. Well, what do you mean? Well, then that's on them to finish, you know, in a higher up in the standings. But let's be honest. I mean, you get anyway, Riv. I'm not going to get into this argument with you because it's. I always pick the argument that's less popular. You know, I guess that makes me more brave. Yeah. I'm 1-4, but it's a topic that keeps coming up, and I feel that it is because of the teams getting eliminated. No one can stand to try to figure out, why is this Carolina next series with Carolina going to be so good? Why is Columbus playing Boston going to be so exciting? I'll tell you what, there could be a new sheriff in town this year. Boston's the only team remaining that's won the Cup in the last 10 years. Otherwise, like, Washington's out, Chicago's out, Pittsburgh's out, LA's out.
This is going to be truly amazing. Like, I mean, when you look at Dallas and St. Louis series, I have absolutely zero idea out of those two teams who's going to move on. I have none. You couldn't pick one. You have San Jose, who just came off a Game 7, highly emotional win. They're going to be fatigued mentally, physically, and they're missing a, 36-40 goal scorer in Pavelski.
He'll be back. You know he'll be
there
back.
There you go. He'll probably be back with his face mask because he's losing chiclets in the whole shooting match. But, I mean, I don't know who's going to win out of that with Avalanche and San Jose. I mean,
I'm going to ask you,
Carolina Hurricanes
back
against the Islanders, you got two teams that are very, very, very similar. And it's going to be exciting to watch some of these series, but
Islanders,
I'll tell you right now,
sleepers.
Everybody, right? Islanders are sleep. I'm going to tell you, Columbus Blue Jackets, with the way that they played in the first round, I can't wait to watch them play in this first game to see kind of what they can bring.
We got to go to break because we got to stay on time for JR. When we come back, I want to ask you if Boston's at a disadvantage for just playing Game 7 and Columbus has all this time off, what's the better position to be in? Was that the win, the emotional series that San Jose needed to maybe get Joe Thornton to the finals again and win him a cup? There was one other thing I wanted to ask you in there, but write those questions down because I'll forget them, and I know you will. And Jeremy Roenick at 11:30. What else could you ask for on Ribs' first day back? We'll be right back. WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
I feel the need for speed.
If we were Maverick and Goose, who would be at the front of the F-14 Tomcat, and who would be at the back?
I think we both know that answer, so I don't have to answer it.
You're right. You're right. Pull the ejection cord, Riff, because you're in the back. All right.
All right.
With that being said, I just want to clarify a little confusion on social media last night. The Amerks were eliminated. Don Stevens. So that's a wrap in 50 years of broadcasting, 33 years in Rochester. I've been blessed to have such a long career. Thanks to all who have tuned in over the years. That was 12 hours ago, and I think he thought people were saying that's a wrap on a career, as did I. And he clarifies today, this is not, in capital letters, a retirement announcement. It's just a season-ending thank you. Well, either someone just paid him a lot of money to stick around, or he just, you know, mistyped. But anyway, he's fantastic, so I'm glad to hear that he's sticking around for at least another year of Amerks hockey, because he's a legend, and he's called a few of my, you know, AHL highlight moments, Riv, if you want to call it such. All right, moving on. Riv's rapid recap. I don't know if the guys in the back want to play the open again, but probably not. Most surprising factoid from the first round. So, Gino Retta, wow. Parody or perplexing? For the first time in NHL history, all four division winners have been eliminated in the opening round of the playoffs. Seven of the top 10 regular season teams are out. Only two of the top 16 scorers in the league are still in. And I watched the broadcast up in Canada yesterday, and I'll tell you this. At the end of the broadcast or the end of the game, Ron McLean had a very interesting math, the way he worded it. He said, now everybody stay with me here. He said, I'm going to do some math for you. He said, I can't remember how it goes. Subtract divisions times four or multiplied by four equals history.
I don't get it. You lost me.
Okay, well, I'll figure it out for you. Which is the most surprising factoid from the first round?
Well, it's, you know, for the first time, to see it the first time in history that, you know, all number one seats in the NHL have all been knocked out. It is it is a little bit perplexing, but I believe that has more to do with the parity in the game. You look at the Washington Capitals, the number one seed playing the Carolina Hurricanes. They're only Washington had 48 wins this year. Carolina had 46. The difference in point totals this year with those two teams were only five. Washington had 104 and Carolina 199. Those two teams are a flip of the coin right now. And then you move over to the Nashville and the Dallas. Nashville had 47 wins. Dallas had 43. I mean, they're very similar in the makeups of their team. And you know, you look at what happened with Columbus Blue Jackets this year. Yes, I know they're playing the best team by far in the National Hockey League all year long to Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay did nothing at the trade deadline, right? Not one move at the trade deadline. What did Columbus Blue Jackets? They went and picked up elite, not just good, but elite hockey players and added them into an already very strong...
Kekalainen put his job on the line.
That's exactly what he did. Instead of going out and dismantling the team because he knew that Panarin wasn't coming back and Bobrovsky, he went and said, we're going to go for it. We're going to bring in some highly touted guys with Deshane, DeZingel. And now that has made that team so much stronger, moving those top players into their second line, per se. Now everybody shifts down one line. This is a very, very deep line. So when you look at the Tampa Bay-Columbus series, Columbus, I think if you were to play this team from the start of the year, with what they have right now, I think they could surprise a lot of people.
We are not succeeding in the rapid recap, so let's move on. But you're right. You're absolutely right. I would agree with parity. Who is the Conn Smythe winner of the first round? Robert Leonard.
You know what? I mean, he's certainly building a case for himself. And if you don't think so, I think that you're nuts. I think Robin Leonard has played exceptionally well for the Islanders. The Islanders as a whole are just They're an incredible team that just play for one another. They play a structured system. They do things right. They're great at both ends of the ice. This one's a tough one because I think when you look at Mark Stone, I think that he played exceptionally well on the Max Pacioretty and Stastny line. That line throughout the playoffs were probably the tops.
I give it to a losing team.
I'm not going to give it to. Right? I'm not going to give it to a losing team. I'm going to give it to Brad Marchand. As of right now, I think he just finds ways to make everybody around him better. It doesn't matter who he plays with. He just seems like he's that energizer bunny that finds ways to get it done. And I think that he's going to continue to do that throughout the playoffs.
Okay, rapid. Let's go rapid. Okay, first thing that comes to mind here. Let's really work on that rapid part of this game. Okay. Which team had the most dominant performance in the first round? That's not the one I wanted to ask you. Sorry, scratch that from the record. Which goalie had the most impactful performance for their team?
I'm going to go with Tuukka Rask just because in Game 7, I thought that he was absolutely brilliant. He is one of the main reasons why Boston came out with the big victory. He made some timely saves, gave their team a chance to win.
Which team had the most dominant performance in the first round?
Well, that's very easy. Okay. Very easy. Columbus Blue Jackets. Absolutely brilliant.
Who has done the best coaching job so far in the playoffs?
I'm going to go with our boy Tortorello. I think you have to give him kudos for what he did. It's not about what they just did on the ice. It's about the mindset and the buildup going into the series because they were literally going against a giant that they had no chance of beating. But you know what? John Tortorella made these players believe, and they took it from there.
Who was the best defenseman in the first round? It's about as rapid as we can get around here. Vacation was good, huh? It's a tough one, isn't it?
I mean,
like, is there one? Is there one like Carlson? Carlson put up some points.
Yeah, it's not just about for me. I'm not just looking at the points. The points come very easily for guys like Carlson.
Fair point.
But you want to know. You want to try and figure out the all around game. You know, I hate the people are going to be raising eyebrows, but you know, Zdenichar, I thought played exceptionally well. For you know, being a 42-year-old 6'9" man, eventually that body is gonna have to break down sometime. But he looks pretty darn good out there. He does not move very well. Believe me, I know this. But it's the way that he plays the game right now and understands his limitations on the ice. I think that's one. The other one I would have to say would be a Seth Jones from Columbus Blue Jackets. I thought he was fantastic.
Which UFA has earned the most so far with his play in the playoffs?
Well, there was a lot of, again, there's going to be a lot of Blue Jacket stuff here, but Matt Duchene had a fantastic season in Ottawa. Okay, he had a fantastic season, over a point a game. He got traded to Columbus. Started off a little bit slow, but now that they're figuring out the power play and they're figuring out the units, the lines and stuff, you can really, really see Matt Duchene starting to feel very comfortable. And he's one heck of a hockey player. And every game that he plays, it seems like his stature is going up.
Yeah, I don't know if Jordan Eberle is going to make more than what he's making now.
He's making what, six?
Yeah.
There's no way he's making more than six. He's going to make less.
He had 19 goals this year. Yeah, okay. He had four goals in the first round. So, I mean,
good for him.
Okay, I know. I'm just trying to throw another option out there to discuss. Which trade deadline acquisition has had the biggest impact? Sounds like another Columbus Blue Jacket answer from Craig Rivet.
I would say Mark Stone.
Nice and easy.
I would say Mark Stone.
But they lost.
Going to, you know, I want my boys in San Jose to do well. It's a really good group of guys there. But it really, really irritates me what that referee did to these men on the Vegas Golden Knights. And I'm not sitting here crying and whining, but that's just awful what the decision that he made at that time. And it just it's too bad because I think that Vegas was certainly a team that 100% with what they have in that locker room could have won the Stanley Cup.
Lock it in your day timer. Carey Fraser is going to join us on Monday. So either 10:30, 11, or 11:30. But he's going to join us on Monday. I think 11 o'clock on Monday. Jeremy Roenick is going to join us today at 11:30. So stick around for that. Also working on, you know, giving the people what they want and another dose of Mike Commodore. So he's, you know, we're working on him for next week as well. So a lot of playoff talk here, a lot of fun guests coming up. And here's the last question for Ribs Rapid Recap. Who is the best player that no one is talking about?
I'm going to go to the West.
Ooh.
I'm going to go to the West, and I'm going to say that Thomas Hertl from the San Jose Sharks is a guy that I don't think is given enough respect around the National Hockey League. He sits out on the West Coast and
scored four goals in a game once.
He really has taken his game to another level. He scored six goals in the first round of the playoffs. He's one of the major reasons why they've had success. And this year in San Jose, go look him up because no one knows who he is. He scored 35 goals this year in 77 games. And this guy has turned into the real deal. And he's only 25 years old. Heck of a hockey player.
Good answer. When we come back, there was a team eliminated last night.
Was there a team eliminated? Oh.
So you know what time it is. You know what time it is?
It is time.
It's time. Are you ready? It's your first one in the playoffs. You've been away since we started this. We actually changed one song for a special circumstance.
Okay.
Per request of the Blue Dini, of course.
Okay, yep.
So, but we're back to the original song. Do you remember the name of the song?
I will remember.
I will remember
you.
No, I will not remember you. It is We Will Remember You.
There it is.
And it's courtesy, it's poetry, courtesy of Sarah McLachlan. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
The time has come again. I'm not going to say it pains me to do this. It doesn't pain me. We got a long summer of Ovi. How trash do you think he was yesterday?
I don't think he was. And you want to know why?
Do you think he cares?
Yes.
Come on.
Because I believe that if they get by the Carolina Hurricanes last night, I think they have a legit chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Even without Oshie?
No. I take it all back.
Look at this. Stanley Cup. Has the ability to tweet that thing. Does everything. Makes men cry.
Yeah.
Makes them cheer. Makes them bleed. Makes them work harder. It even tweets, Dear at OV8. It's not goodbye. It's see you later.
Yeah.
You
know what the best teams do?
It's what they said on the Titanic as the...
You know the best teams do, Andrew?
Lifeboats paddled away.
They win. The best teams win. And when they go through hard times, they still win. Carolina Hurricanes. Snemeskov.
Him too.
Furland. Out of the lineup. Two of their top players on their team.
Do you want to know,
out of the lineup.
Do you want to know why I think the Canes won this game? Brindy was dialed in to the colors, the color scheme on the bench. He had the black suit going, white shirt, red tie with small little polka dots. He wanted to be the same color as his team. Red, white, and black. I believe it.
Bleeding
that
red.
Guy is like he's got to be an inspiration in that locker room. I'm serious. When
you think that they
are intimidated when he works out in the gym after practice? Yeah, probably a little. I would be. He's as old school as they get with a snorkel like that. You look a guy in the eye and you say, "Hey, I want you to work harder, boy," and he starts to pump his chest. You're going, "Okay, boss. See you out there." What were you going to say?
I have no idea what you.
Do you think they what?
Do you think Do you think they play Rod Brennamore
highlights?
Highlights.
I don't know.
How many?
Do you think they have a poster of him with his shirt off from Sports Illustrated?
How many players on the team has watched Rod Brennamore highlights once he got hired?
Well, if you have to. Your coach won a cup with that team. So you're going back to kind of see what it's all about, how he got it done, you know, what that team was all about. And then he's going to come in, he's going to talk to you about it, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, I want to experience that. I want to experience that so badly, you know? And instills a little bit of belief. You know, he's probably saying that year, we weren't the best team. We weren't the favorite. We had a rookie goalie. You know, we had injuries. We had, you know, yada, 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 stuff going on. Doug Waite blew his shoulder out, if you recall. He dressed in that last game against Edmonton and could barely even hold the cup.
Yeah.
Eric Cole came back from a broken neck that year. Didn't he? Or didn't he?
I have no idea, but they had Mark Recchi there too. They had a lot of leadership on that team.
Kevin Adams was on that team?
Yep, Kevin Adams.
They had, like, who else was Glenn Wesley on that team?
Anyway, well, sucks anyway. To be Washington.
Sports update coming up when we come back. Hour number two of the Instigators, and at 11:30, making up for his the dust off yesterday. He dusted us right off. Did you text him from wherever you were and say, hey, I'm not in today, call in tomorrow?
Who's that, JR?
RJ, Ronick, Jeremy.
Yeah.
That's how they would call it in class. Ronick, Jeremy. Ronick, Jeremy. And someone would say, oh, he's absent. Didn't make it
in. He's on a hockey tournament.
WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators. We will be right back after the sports update.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.